Hello, and welcome to the third installment of Phil and Lisa Ruin the Movies. This special episode was brought to you courtesy of our disbelief and outrage over the trailer for Jurassic World. We saw it, and we had so many questions. So many questions. And here, to bottom out with answers that are probably nowhere near correct or relevant, are me, Lisa Schmeiser.
And I'm your host, Philip Michaels.
Why did you let me do all the talking if you were the host?
Because the host has other things to do. You are like the little announcer that sits off in the booth and brings in the star of the show.
Like a Kowalkian monkey lizard.
Yes, like... You are like the Ed McMahon to my Johnny Carson. The,
What was his thing? Booyah? Hey-o.
Hey-o.
Oh, hey-o.
Hey-o.
Okay.
Right. Hey-o.
I didn't ever watch Carson.
No, neither do I. Neither have most of our 8 listeners, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
Older reference lost on younger viewers.
So, Jurassic World.
Yes.
We will be including a link to the trailer on this show's, on the podcast page, show notes.
A movie that we have not seen because it is not coming out anytime soon.
It still exists only in server farms.
Yes. Strangely,
has not stopped us from having opinions on it.
No, they released a teaser for the trailer, which I always thought was what a trailer was, because last weekend they put out a, here's a teaser, and then the trailer came, because now we release trailers for trailers in this age of...
it's an age of miracles, is what it is.
This age of internet stuff, where you just, here's the latest from the... I'm sure there will be 1,000 more trailers between now and whenever Jurassic...
World.
Yeah, so yeah. I was about to say Jurassic Park sees the light of day.
This raises my first question.
Does this movie exist...
In a world that Jurassic Park never took place in? That's my big question.
Yes.
Is it a world that Michael Crichton never lived in?
Is this a reboot of the franchise entirely, or is the scenario that, well, mistakes were made when Jurassic Park was created, but now we've improved it to be Jurassic World? Because looking at the trailer, I have to say, it looks like they took shots from the old movie and just superimposed Chris Pratt.
And more crowds. So here are my questions in no particular order. Mm-hmm. We can bomb it out. One, is this a universe in which Michael Crichton never existed, so no one ever read the books? Two, is this a universe in which there are no Jurassic Park films, so that everyone has never been access to a world in which there were news stories about the T-Rex rampaging through downtown San Diego, like it was at the end of Jurassic Park 2, or freaking pterodactyls terrorizing the coast of South America, as they did in Jurassic Park 3 or 4, I can't remember which one.
Yeah.
It was the Alessandro Nibbleglove one,
yeah,
where they steal eggs. And any hoodle, the point is...
You are talking about the other Jurassic Park movies as if they continued to make them after the first one.
Yeah.
I haven't seen the other ones.
So here's what you need to know about Jurassic Park 2.
I don't need to... But go on.
There's a magical flying gymnast child who turns out to be Ian Malcolm's... illegitimate get, and somehow she accidentally ends up back at Jurassic Park with him and his paleontologist girlfriend Julianne Moore, and they're evil poachers who are stealing Tyrannosaurus Rexes to take them back to San Diego, and they only want to take the baby, and somehow the mother Tyrannosaurus Rex manages to hide out in an oil tanker, sneak on board, and she kills everybody. There's a big old chase scene through San Diego, a dog is eaten, and there's a horrific scene where she teaches the baby T-Rex how to hunt, and they never really explain how they get the T-Rex out of San Diego or back to the island or what have you. It's really confusing. And then after that, there's like a vague blur where I remember like one or more movies that seem to involve poor Sam Neill coming back because I guess he needs the paycheck. And there's an animal that's even spikier than the T-Rex and it poops satellite phones and... Here's the most baffling part. There's a cage filled with flying pterodactyls because this park is evidently designed by sadists who are like, you know what tourists would like to do? They'd like to walk into a trapped enclosure with lots of flying predators.
So in this movie, they were back to being a theme park or
what? No, it was like they had a backup theme park, which was filled with even more baffling and inexplicable creatures.
Uh-huh.
And so this whole, by the end of this, you had little packs of dinosaurs eating people and the stupid flying pterodactyls and giant dinosaurs that poop satellite phones and Alessandra Nivola like wandering off of the indie movie reservation to go steal a raptor egg. And it was just bafflingly, mind-bogglingly bad. And that's where we left it. So what I want to know is, does this take place in a different universe where none of that ever happened? Because otherwise, there's no reason for this movie to exist.
Well, unless there's like a 5-minute scene at the beginning where they do say, oh, well, now that we figured out how to control the animals, nothing could possibly
go
wrong.
And they've killed like both Sam Neill and Jeff Goldblum and buried their bodies somewhere where nobody can find them, because otherwise you'd have the critics.
Well, Sam Neill's career would be there. I'm kidding, Sam Neill. He's a lovely man.
He's got that work ethic, I tell you what.
And he actually did a Russian accent in Hunt for Red October, which makes him quite different from his castmates.
He's so poignant. I love him in that movie.
Yeah. Anyway. But yes, one presumes that this does not...
So they're basically starting from scratch.
That they've hit the reset button, because based upon the scenes in the trailer where they're telling you about, hey, we've made advances in DNA and there are things in amber. And I was sitting there going, I know, because I've seen the movie.
So all right, so we've come to an agreement that this clearly has to take place in a world where Jeff Goldblum never reclined, semi-shirtless and glistening while dinosaurs ran around him.
Yeah, and
that was a formative moment.
Yeah, it must have been. No, I guess my problem with that, if it is we've hit the reset button and it's a whole new world, is that it's not like that movie is lost in the mists of time. It's not like...
Went to see it for my birthday last year.
Yeah, they re-released it in the theater in 3D.
And it was magnificent.
And it's not like they burned the only copy of it. It's not like this is Fritz Lang's
or
Metropolis.
Jerry Lewis's The Day the Clown Cried.
The Day the Clown Cried, where three people have seen it.
The Day the Camposaurus Cried.
Yeah. By the way, if someone wants to remake The Day the Clown Cried, I think we would welcome that as
a
culture.
Who would be put in for Jerry Lewis?
Oh man, you're putting me on the spot. I assume it would
be Jim Carrey.
My first thought was Jim Carrey or Larry the Cable Guy. Actually, to make it appeal to,
I think Disney might have Larry the Cable Guy killed if he does that, because that threatens the Cars franchise.
Well, sure,
there'd be an accident involving country steak. Mm-hmm. So, at least we've established that Jeff Goldblum is safe.
And it saddens me that we are so bereft of ideas that people sit around and go, well, let's make that movie we did 20 years ago, only with more CGI and...
And fewer models, because the models are actually what make that movie work.
Exactly.
You have to have that three... People can still sense when an object is real or if it's just computer-generated. And one of the most powerful things about the original Jurassic Park is the scene where Laura Dern is macking on the Triceratops, and you can
see...
She's
treating the...
I understand.
She's not making sweet love to the Triceratops.
All right, to be fair, she pops its blisters. It's gross. Anyway, it's so gross.
Mm-hmm. And poop is involved.
Yeah, these movies have a theme, and that theme is coprophiliac. Mm-hmm. But you can see the rise and the fall of the animal's ribs, and she's leaning against it, and there's that real sense of tactility.
Mm-hmm.
And that was actually one of the things that was kind of missing from this preview.
It's one of the reasons why you can see Jurassic Park 20 years later, and movie
still
holds
really
up.
Awesome. Oh yeah,
the movie still holds up well.
So we've decried the state of Hollywood and its bankrupt ideas.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked ourselves into believing that this has to take place in a parallel universe because humanity is stupid, but not quite possibly so stupid as to say, you know, after several fantastic near misses with these awesome, intelligent predators, we think it's a great idea to open another amusement park.
Dinosaur attacks at an all-time low after spiking 20 years ago.
Yeah, but I have several lines of questioning, but two of them that are coalescing into thick cables or strands of questioning. There are, of course, the business-related questions, and then there are the science-related questions. So which line of inquiry we would like to pursue first?
Why don't we do the science? Because
my first question...
You're an egghead.
Thank you. That's
sure.
like the sweetest thing you've said to me today. So my first question is, why would you feel the need to create a mutant dinosaur? Like, why? You've already got literally thousands upon thousands of species of actual dinosaurs that you could, in theory, create and study. What makes you think that the world is crying out for some sort of weird, you know, oh, we've enhanced this dinosaur with, you know, intelligence and perfect pitch and a scheming Machiavellian mind? And,
well, now, which is the genetically engineered? Well, all genetically engineered.
No, Bryce Dallas Howard's like, well, we've enhanced this one and genetically engineered it. And, that's the big...
I wasn't paying attention at that point because I thought that was Jessica Chastain, who I always want to call Brandy Chastain. And now I'm imagining a version of Jurassic Park where she distracts the raptors by ripping off her shirt and revealing her sports bra. That's a copyrighted idea, Philip Michaels, well, 2014.
They can have Julie Foudy calling all the shots, mm-hmm. explaining the action.
Mm-hmm.
Mia Hamm brushes her hair a little bit. It's a reunion of all the World Cup players.
All the 1999 Women's World Cup team.
Yes.
Can we mention any more? Tiffany Milbrae and Brianna Scurry.
Yeah.
And there, we've ticked off that box. So.
Oh, there's Michelle... who am I thinking of?
Akers.
Yes, thank you.
There. You're not left out of this pot, this random off-topic.
If you are a member
discussion.
Of the Women's World Cup team from 1999 and we forgot to mention you, you are welcome to call in or write into us, and we will mention you on the next podcast. That's a promise.
Trisha Venturi.
Oh, she was cute.
Yes, she was.
Anyway.
And a good player, too.
Yeah. So, anyway, it's...
So, there's genetic engineering, and it's
Bryce Dallas Howard, who's like...
Bryce Howard Dallas.
It's not enough for us to have regular dinosaurs with their enormous jaws capable of crushing men... capable of many tons of pressure, and who cares if they have these giant nasal cavities that let them smell things from many, many miles away, and why should we be worried about all that when we can also give them super intelligence or whatever freaky genetic stuff we stuffed in there?
Like, well, because then you can have them do stunts and tricks at the little show, like they have the megalodon, or what?
No, that's a dicosaurus.
The giant shark-like dinosaur.
Yeah, I'm not even sure that's a dinosaur. It might be more crocoloid or crocodilioid, mm-hmm. but from what it looked like, it was clearly one of the early Cretaceous period dinosaurs.
Oh, well.
Yes, I'm a dinosaur nerd.
Yeah, you are.
And so my thoughts there were, one, they clearly got that idea from watching the stuff in Australia where the saltwater crocodiles do that.
I think they got the idea from Discovery Channel, actually.
Have you ever watched those on YouTube?
No.
Because they have this whole genre of crocodiles jump up and eat things videos on YouTube, and they're horrifying and fascinating.
Yeah, no, I'm not going to watch those.
Oh, they're great.
I want to sleep tonight.
Because I wanted to see what an ancient predator rising from the deep looked like. So you see this thing, and my first thought is, if that giant animal is capable of leaping up and killing a shark, and by the way, it's not like the world's shark population has so much to go around that they can just blithely string a great white onto a line and not have that thing be missed.
I guess in future world, the shark population is rebounded, or they breed sharks for...
Perhaps they breed them on Jeff Goldblum's Earth and then import them to this one.
Yes.
But
they're the gerbils of the sea in this world.
Adorable and fluffy and mm-hmm. eaten by the Dicosaurus. But I just kept thinking, that sucker is enormous. Why isn't it deliberately like pitching itself over the side to flap around among people and eat them?
I'm still stuck on Dicosaurus because it sounds like something that you'd call a mean person.
D-A-K-O.
Dicosaurus.
D-A-K-O.
Okay. Being a real Dicosaurus derailing this podcast, Phil.
Which reminds me, did you see that? Did I share the dinosaur porn genre with you when I found it on Amazon?
Perhaps you did, and I've blotted it out. I assume you have to share it now since you brought it up.
It was a book called A Billionaire Dinosaur Turned Me Gay.
Mm.
And it's part of the Amazon, it's part of the genre of ebooks on Amazon where people write basically amateur porn and then about all sorts of weird stuff, and then they get some clip art for the cover.
First off, I forgot to turn on private browsing, so now this search history is recorded. Lisa, for our listeners, the correct title is A Billionaire Dinosaur Forced Me Gay.
Yes, you're
not
right.
Turned Me Gay.
You're right. Forced.
Turned Me implies that there is some sort of consent.
I'm so... I don't mean to diminish the experience of anybody who has been forcibly assaulted by a reptile, and I apologize mm-hmm. for that. I do feel bad.
Yeah.
So, no, look at the cover art on A Billionaire Dinosaur Force Be Gay.
Mm-hmm. Available on Amazon.com.
Yeah.
Wow.
What I like is the look of shame on the man's face.
Well,
as he
yes,
zips
because,
his sweatshirt.
Because first off, the dinosaur looks like he's screaming at him to take off your shirt. Strut for daddy.
So, like the
second off, when the dinosaur makes sweet love to you because it has the little spindly arms, I'm assuming.
There's not a lot of back rubs, I don't
Let
think.
Let me take you in my arms.
Oh, I can't.
No.
Not a lot of back rubs.
No.
No, the premise behind this world, because I went and read the...
Of course, the entire book.
No, I didn't buy it. I didn't. But apparently the dinosaurs played the stock market and won, and now they control the world's wealth. And to be honest, that sounds a little bit more plausible than anything I saw in this trailer. Because again, it goes back to the scientist. You are a scientist. You are busy creating a whole new life form. It has never been observed before in our modern world. before you start with, I'm going to engineer a super mutant dinosaur, why don't you just launch a few herbivores and see how they do? Because the very nature of our air has changed in the last couple million years. Our water has changed in the last couple million years. Our microflora has changed. You don't know that someone breeds like a whole little batch of tiny, adorable ankylosaurs, and they're felled by E. coli because they can't handle it in their tiny little adorable intestines. Like, there's just so much wrong with the idea that you can engineer a species from millions of years ago and expect them to thrive in the current environment when everything from microflora to environmental composition has changed so much.
So what your biggest complaint with Jurassic World is that it appears not to be peer-reviewed.
That is a complaint I have, yes. Well, did they publish the research is the next thing. Where do they take it? Journal? Which journal? Was it Science? Was it Nature? Was mm-hmm. I mean, it's not the New England Journal of Medicine, we know that. Was it Proceedings of the National Academy of Science? They'll take anyone.
Mm-hmm. I assume it's a publication that also publishes the dinosaur porn.
The dinosaurs played the stock market in one film.
Yes,
fair
of course they did.
Yeah. So the market is fair and just. Capitalism is always trending towards the good.
I think we've bottomed out your science objections.
Yeah. Here's the other thing I don't understand. I'm not sure if this is a business question or a science question. Again, I want to emphasize giant predators or giant reptiles anyway. Why do you make the predators? Why would you not just make an entire park full of adorable ankylosaurs and happy little stegosaurs and some triceratops and, you know,
because then they wouldn't get the big crowds
this
is a difference again from mm-hmm. Jurassic Park where uh-huh. If you haven't seen the movie that's been widely available for 20 years, they bring in people to preview the park, and it's nowhere close to opening at this point.
No.
They're still working out the kinks, which is mm-hmm. why things go horribly wrong.
Yeah.
Whereas in Jurassic World, based on the size of the crowds that are attending, it seems like a going concern, or at least that they have opened it wide to the
What I find boggling is they're like, okay, it's clearly a great idea for us to create as many vicious predators with mm-hmm. fantastically enhanced senses as possible.
Right.
Because that always works out well for people.
Right.
And it just makes no sense from a business perspective. And I do think people would still come if they had a chance to, like, run with whatever those things were called that run across the field, or pet the copies, or like you can have tiny adorable predators, or you can put the pleiosaurs in a lagoon and just make sure no one falls in. But there is a scene in the preview that appears they have the raptors in their little horse stalls, like, and they let them out and they begin racing like a bunch of them at once. And what is that supposed to be? Why would you make raptors?
Well, because you want to bet on them, I guess.
Or put robot jockeys on their backs.
Yes. It's like the Kentucky Derby only with raptors.
Oh God. They did not play the stock market. They invested in real estate at the height of the bubble.
Mm-hmm.
Raptors are not the best at speculative finance.
No, they are not.
Now, which brings us to business questions.
Yes.
Because, I don't know, do you have business questions? I have business questions.
Not especially.
Who's going to insure this is my thing.
Yeah, well.
Like, which insurance, do you really think, like, Lloyd's of London is going
to
be like...
It always comes back to the insurance questions.
It does. It does, because when this thing inevitably goes up in flames and or dino poop, because it always comes back to the dino poop, like, somebody has to go appraise the damage and pay out the investors.
Lisa and claims adjusters ruin the movies.
They are our unsung nemesis.
They're the enemies of fun.
Well, they're keen intellect and their powers of observation and their lines of argument are to be feared.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're not properly evaluating the scope and impact of their work in society. And I want to know which lunatic thinks it's okay to underwrite a park filled with, on an island where nobody can get off, filled with bloodthirsty predators from 65 million years ago.
My concerns with the movie are less business oriented.
Do you think Steve Wynn underwrote it?
Yes, obviously.
Okay.
Very, very clearly.
Yeah.
My problems with the movie from the 2 minutes of trailer that we've seen.
Yeah.
Once again, they took the worst element of the first movie in my
child actors.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Hey, it's not real drama until you put kids at risk.
Yes.
And Children are... I don't mean to touch a sore subject for you with child actors, Lisa, but...
Well, if they're getting eaten in this film, we...
Exactly, if they don't quite make it. But I think when we went to see Jurassic Park in the theater a year ago, the line where the little girl goes and
I know
and this is a Unix interface. I know this.
Oh
and
God!
That the audience broke out into laughter because
because it was a GUI.
Yeah,
and we live in the San Francisco Bay Area where everybody knows how to program.
Exactly.
No, like the first time I saw the movie back in '93, I saw it with a bunch of engineers, and when that line came out, I'm just like, "This is Unix. I know it." Everybody who had been going blind from command line programming began weeping bitterly or laughing bitterly.
Yeah.
Awesome, both.
So I think they've recaptured that magic with the tousle-haired children who are going to go off to Jurassic World and have...
Without their parents. That's
without
the best
their parents and have adventures.
Maybe their parents...
And be rescued by Chris Pratt.
Maybe their parents are free-range parents, because there's that whole parenting movement now called free-range parenting, where it's like, go ahead, send your kid to the store unsupervised, because nothing will happen.
Send your kid to the dinosaurs. Either they'll become financial wizards, or they'll have the story of a lifetime.
Yeah, either way, or they're dead.
Yeah,
but, you know.
Or they're dead.
Yeah. But, you know, the odds are good. 66% they come back a winner.
Mm-hmm.
Free-range parenting. It's clearly what's going on.
Yeah, so I have a problem with that. Also, the trailer takes the Jurassic Park theme song and turns it into the piano exit from Layla. But there's a sad piano going, dun, 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 bum, 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 bum. Bum, bum. While Chris Pratt is like riding on his motorcycle.
With a leather vest.
With a leather vest and has a rifle. And
again, I had to lean back from the microphone so I could shriek this. Again, they're in like Central America or someplace similarly tropical. Why are you wearing a leather vest in that heat? What is? It's not even like a practical canvas hunter's vest with pockets for secreting things. It's just some weird, I wish I were Han Solo, but instead I'm wrangling dinosaurs type vest.
Mm.
You know, or I was told there would be Wookiees in this movie vest or something.
I thought I was going to get cast in Star Wars 7. Oh no, I'm in Jurassic World.
No, I'm sorry. So, I mean, Chris Pratt has charisma to burn.
Sure.
And he was phenomenal in Guardians of the Galaxy.
Mm.
But...
I don't like to make predictions based on movies that...
Haven't come out. Oh, but that's what this podcast is
about. That's the entire premise of our podcast. We got a very angry letter from someone who said, how can you criticize movies you haven't even seen? It's remarkably easy. But,
years of cross training.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I hope this isn't the movie that squanders all the
goodwill
he booked with Guardians of the Galaxy and Zero Dark Thirty.
Well, even if it is, the fact is that he has Guardians of the Galaxy 2 through N, or however many Marvel has locked him into.
Mm.
And although, you know, I'll be curious to see how Avengers 2 does next summer, just because people may be going, really, Chris Hemsworth, a pirate movie? Or
yeah.
Well, really, Chris Evans, you made a movie where you eat children on a train, or...
Mm-hmm. This is the between Jurassic World and Avengers 2, this is the second trailer we've seen that ends with, like, a sad little song.
Bum, 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 bum.
It's Jurassic Park in Jurassic Park. Dinos play their games in Jurassic Park. Dark and Jeff Goldblum's there
with his underwear.
That is the tender love theme from Jurassic Park.
World, from Jurassic World.
Oh, well, then it has to be it's Jurassic World. It's Jurassic World. The movies that came before don't exist.
It's Jurassic World. Chris Pratt's hair does curl.
Oh, my.
It does. He does curly hair.
No, he does. He does. It's very lovely.
I'm going for the easy rhymes.
Yes. I think people would appreciate it if I stopped singing, though. So.
They're going to use this to threaten their children. If you don't go to bed, we're going to play the Jurassic World love song.
The screamy man will sing you Jurassic Park. I just saw The Long Goodbye, which is the...
It's the Elliot Gould.
It's the Elliot Gould take on Philip Marlowe, Robert Altman directs. And one of the actually nice touches of the movie is that it just has one song in it that they play over and over.
Yeah.
But they change it to be... When he's in Mexico, it's a mariachi version. And when he goes to the grocery store at one point and it's playing over the Muzak in a Muzak form. Mm-hmm. And it's a very clever detail. And now I hope that Jurassic World just uses the Jurassic Park song over and over again, changing the style and the tone and the tempo based upon what's happening.
I want to see an all raptor chase scene set to dubstep Jurassic Park. I guess guess, no, this is comes from years of being a tech reporter and a business reporter, but I almost always think about, like, the supply chain issues that take place in these elaborately constructed
Yeah, of course you do.
And the logistics in transit. Mm-hmm. And again, even if we're not talking about massive business insurance to back these ventures and make sure that investors get their money, what about travel insurance? Is it automatically void if you're like, oh, our travel insurance covers what happens on your trips, except if they happen to include bloodthirsty predators from the Cretaceous era? I have a lot of questions about how this is going to work.
Yes.
From a business, how do they make money off of it? Are there refunds? Do you have to waive the right to sue if you get hurt or killed? Oh, God, you know, the most disturbing thing I just thought of is, what if they actually do, like, a jump forward? And they're like, oh, Ian Malcolm, like, disappeared into some weird origami dimension when he did math one day, and so he's gone, poof. And Neill is crazy in the desert, and the kids who are in the original Jurassic Park are now adults and have their grandfather's crazy money, and they're going to try again. And this time they're getting it right because they are crazy and love their grandfather. Like, it could also be that.
I am going to throw a spanner into the works here, because uh-huh. I have just... snuck a peek at Wikipedia. Wikipedia, the official sponsor of Phil and Lisa Spoil the Movies or Ruin the Movies.
Mm-hmm.
It is, in fact, a continuation.
No!
Yes.
No!
Yes.
There were T-Rexes running around San Diego. How do you come back from that?
Wikipedia has no response to your incredulity, but apparently it is set the 22 years after the events of Jurassic Park. Isla Nublar, which is the island that the dinosaurs lived on, is now a fully functioning dinosaur theme park, as originally envisioned by John Hammond, played by Sir Richard Attenborough.
So what happens? Do they have maybe Sam Neill, like, locked in an asylum somewhere, and he's going to, like, foam at the mouth?
Apparently, Sam Neill left no notes. Dr. Ian Malcolm left no documentation.
Like I said, maybe he just did so much conceptual math that he was assumed into a higher math plane.
But they came back from the island in the first Jurassic Park movie and said, "Let's not tell anyone about this."
Well, that's something they address in later movies, which is where Sam Neill gives all these lectures where he's like, look, you know, you can dig up these bones, but I'm telling you, I was chased by raptors in person, and this is how they behave. And everyone's like, you're a lunatic. And he's like, I'm not a lunatic, I'm a survivor. And so we go through that.
Mm-hmm.
Which actually brings me back to another science complaint, which is that the Bryce Dallas Howard character is all, well, we've learned more in the past 10 years than they did through digging blah, 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 blah. Really, really, are we going to get a side lecture on ethology and animal behavior? Because that's where we need to go with that. Otherwise,
mm-hmm.
I find her dismissal of other methods of inquiry to be deeply, profoundly anti-intellectual and not at all in the spirit of scientific discovery.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can talk smack in science. It's permitted. But, you know, I just think that she's super dismissive of the people who didn't have genetic manipulation back in the 1800s when they began preserving fossil beds and saying, hey, these things are valuable and worth studying.
So the Wikipedia entry details the development process, the quite lengthy development process of this movie. It's been in development for a decade. And several different... That's always a good sign.
Always
a good sign when it takes many rewrites and many reimaginings.
Yeah.
And
yeah, I was reading that feature in Entertainment Weekly on the Penguins of Madagascar, and they say all excitedly, yeah, like 12 iterations of the script later, we are ready to go. And that's not...
Yeah, because you're working on the Citizen Kane of animated penguin movies.
Apparently.
And you really need to... We really need to nail this right. We can't do another Penguins movie.
No.
We have a lot to say. About the animated penguins. It's not so much about animated penguins, Lisa.
Mm-hmm.
It's about society in this, the 2014th year of our Lord.
Mm.
And where we are as a peoples.
And as a people, we're in a world that accepts 12 to 14 iterations of penguin scripts before the movie gets made.
You don't make a perfect omelet without breaking 20,000 eggs.
I guess not.
Throwing out all the bad eggs.
Oh.
Saying, these are the eggs we're keeping.
I wonder if this movie will be better if we actually pretend that it takes place in a parallel universe, because we have ample evidence that people are slow to learn from their mistakes, but I want to repeat again, Tyrannosaurus Rex rampaging around downtown San Diego.
Well, since the theme park is now run by a mysterious corporation, I have a feeling we'll get some...
I actually hope it's run by the sharks on Shark Tank. I hope that Mark Cuban makes a cameo.
Has a cameo appearance.
Yeah, and that Laurie is chasing after people, asking them for oh, we sell this product to get rid of dinosaurs on QVC.
And then they're eaten by the Dickosaurus.
Dickosaurus, yeah. Well, I think we've done our best to ruin this movie.
I think so. And since it is coming out next summer?
June 12th, I believe. Yes. Oh. Yes.
Well, you have 8 more months to anticipate and decide you've got better things to do that weekend.
Write your Dickosaurus fanfic.
Yeah. No, everyone's going to go see this movie. We're not going to dissuade a single soul from seeing this.
No. I was trying to think of a movie going to sleep for next summer. Because I like to plan ahead.
Yeah.
I think of that in Pitch Perfect 2.
Yeah, sure.
And The Avengers 2.
Yeah.
Maybe next year is the year that's my alarm to tell us to go order pizza.
Okay.
I think maybe next year is the year where I only see movies that have 2 in the name.
Well, now that listeners know that we're going to order a pizza, I think it's time for us...
Tweet us your choices for pizza toppings.
Tell us your toppings. Okay. What dinosaur should we order to deliver our pizza?
Yes.
That would be a terrible delivery service.
The dinosaurs are too good to order deliver our pizzas now. They're billionaires. Stock speculation.
And of course.
Yes. All right. Again, I'll have our lovely host wrap this up, but it was a pleasure to be here. I'm Lisa Schmeiser.
And I am your host, Philip Michaels, saying...
It's Jurassic Park. It's Jurassic. Don't give me that look.
I wasn't giving you a look.
Oh, you were.
Stepping on my outro. We don't have a clever way of signing off. We need some sort of...
I haven't seen this movie and neither have you.
Yes. And hopefully let's keep it that way. Yeah. Good night, everybody.